Welcome to NHASCD Spotlight. It's our podcast from the New Hampshire Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. My name is Bill Carosa, the Executive Director. I want to remind you, coming up next month, we have a K-8 math conference on March 22nd, featuring Steve Linewand, Kristen Hilty, Graham Fletcher, Carolyn Worcester, and Kevin Mahoney in cooperation with the New Hampshire Teachers of Mathematics. You can still register at nhascd.org. We also have a free webinar coming up in April, but we're going to talk about that right now, because our two guests today are Lindsay Prendergast and Piper Lee. They're authors of the book Habits of Resilient Educators, Strategies for Thriving During Times of Anxiety, Doubt, and Constant Change. A bit about Lindsay. She's worked as a secondary special ed teacher, an assistant principal, an international school principal. She's been a senior consultant and school improvement coach for the Northwest Evaluation Association, we all know as NWEA. And she's now also assistant director of learning experiences at the Danielson Group. Love to talk about your work with Charlotte Danielson, but I'm not sure that's really the topic, but maybe
we'll
offline.
Say that another day.
Okay. She's an ASCD emerging leader as well and frequent presenter at conferences. Her buddy and co-author Piper Lee, who's also our guest today, is a former classroom and EL teacher, graduate induction clinical supervisor, executive district partnership coach with the American Reading Company, was those things anyway. And now she works for NWEA as a senior account manager of strategic accounts. We're just glad to have you here. Thank you both for taking time on the podcast today.
Really appreciate you having us join today. Thank you so much.
You
love
bet.
NHASCD.
Well, thank you.
A good time.
Yeah, I do too. So and before we start, any questions, I want to remind people just to mark this down. April 2nd at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 Eastern time, we have our two guests today talking about their book, Habits of Resilient Educators. So we'll talk more about the webinar itself and how you can sign up and all that. But as always, when I have authors, I'd love to hear the why behind the writing of your book. I could probably guess, given the times we're in right now. But maybe Lindsay, you could start and Piper pick up on that. You know, why did you write the book? What was the great motivation behind it?
Absolutely. So Piper and I, a little background, first of all, was that we spent the last 3 years together living and working in Clark County in Las Vegas, Nevada. We were placed there on a job as leadership coaches, and we spent our days in schools supporting teachers and leaders, doing instructional rounds, coaching PLCs, et cetera. And over that period of time, we would just constantly come away from the workday, calling each other up, processing, debriefing. Like, there's so much going on in the education system today. We tend to lean towards saying, oh, this is post-pandemic education. These challenges are new. These are things that we just can't overcome. What are we doing about all this? And I would say, we would say really, that these challenges are not all new. And there's hundreds, if not thousands and thousands of educators are out there just rolling up their sleeves, doing everything they can to make it work. What we saw was an opportunity here. We have these trends that we notice. There's people out there that are really putting simple, known effective practices together that are really not just about pedagogy. They're somewhat about personal habits of practice too, that are enabling them to endure this environment of constant change and anxiety and doubt that we name in the title. So we were starting to think, like, what is it that's working for some of these people? What are we noticing? And what do they just kind of innately seem to understand, or maybe they've learned about? And so over time, these conversations evolved, and we thought, all these educators really are existing in silos. What if we brought all these ideas together? And lo and behold, here we are. We actually were able to put those ideas together. Yeah. And Corwin said, hey, we like them. Let's put them into a book. So that's the short story version of it. What do you think, Pipe? Anything to add?
I think the one thing is that we just really wanted to contribute back to the educators. And like Lindsay said, these were not challenges that were just because of the pandemic. Before the pandemic, the teacher burnout rate was pretty high. And so we had a lot of new teachers hitting schools and the education system. And we had a lot of veteran teachers that were just exhausted from all the new initiatives. And so it was really about pointing and giving back to our educators and reminding them really of their why, and some simple, powerful moves, we call those habits, that would help ground them in just working with their students and their colleagues.
There's so much quantitative data about the pandemic and the effect. There's a Harvard-Stanford report that just came out about the year after. Obviously, you guys have worked with NWEA. That's all about mostly quantitative data. So it's nice that you have stories, and that it really was a qualitative study. You probably didn't necessarily call it that because it was based on your experiences.
100%. And calling out too, I think something Piper often mentions that was an aha for me too, is that, you know, when we were developing as educators early in our career, Harry Wong was in our hand 24/7. Totally. And any educator who's read it would look and say, it's not that it's overly complex. It's just so simple. It's so good. And it's something you can use throughout your entire career. So leaning even back into those days too, and pulling out some of those concrete practices, weaving those into what is now today's context and environment too, really tried to connect back to what helped us to develop an education as a career. So that's definitely an influence, if you say, as a songwriter would say, who influenced your music, right?
There you go.
So there's that.
And the two of you, I'm picturing you probably had things like Google Docs and lots of phone calls, and you had stories and you had names of people, you know, Charlene, when she was a classroom teacher, did you know? I'm sure there are lots of people that you may have used pseudonames, but these people exist in the pages of your book, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Yep. We did go to the root of using pseudonames. And for that matter, some of those stories, you can imagine somebody may not want to necessarily be described in context. But the stories, you're right, they're just endless. And many of them are from our experience the last few years. Some of them are from previous experiences too. But calling attention to that, this is really rooted in describing what real educators are going through every day, which we often find, I think you might agree, Bill, that if you're out and out about in the community, people think everything's pretty hunky-dory. They may have a little bit of context from the news, but they don't understand the real depth of the complexity of what it is to be a teacher today.
We, Lindsay and I really feel like we had a gift given to us. We came to Clark County together. We had worked a little bit previously through NWEA. We didn't know anyone here. So it was awesome in that we just completely, all we did was really work and talk to each other about how we could improve, give back, support. We really did a lot of debriefing. I think between the two of us, we figured we've done over 3,000 instructional rounds in the last 3 years. And so we had a lot to chat about. So we would drive around and be like, I need to debrief about this. We met a coach to each other as we were coaching teachers and leaders here in Clark County. It was really a gift because I think that experience helped us to really hone in on what were those habits that we were seeing trends of resilient teachers.
The word habits in your title made me think of the book by James Clear that, of course, dealt with atomic habits, small little habits.
Yeah.
And before we got on, I asked if you knew that. Of course, it was in large part, Lindsay, you said one of the inspirations behind your book.
I love that book. And I did read it before we wrote this. And I would say to that end, it's almost a moment of going, well, oh, yes, these are habits that we're talking about. Let's connect that dot. There's a quote that we pulled from his book and put into ours, though, that habits are the compound interest of personal growth. And that's something that just jumped out at me of thinking about, again, these practices that are really about teaching and learning that you might look at and say, oh, I learned that in a professional development. I tried it once. Maybe I'll try it again. I don't know. We'll get back to it at some point. Or that's just the way I do things. I don't realize that it's a habit or a routine, if you will, right? But so synthesizing that and drawing that together for teachers to call out, these are known, proven practices of both what personal well-being, but also professional practice. So finding that intersection was really the intent. Then knowing that as an educator, creating the time and space, this is the book best read with your colleagues so that you can find some accountability partners, not unlike Piper and I have amongst ourselves here, but to continue routinely practicing and not just picking it up, reading it, and thinking about it later, practicing those habits, testing out, reflecting, debriefing, coming back, trying it again, just like described in James' book.
Piper, do you think that this would be a great book club book for a staff?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, super funny. Lindsay and I just finished a book guide for a book study. And so that really is kind of our heart's desire is that, you know, habits done in isolation, you can do it, but it's a lot more fun. And I think you refine your your habit or your practice when you are meta-coaching each other, right? And so there's a lot of reflective questions built into the book, but then also in the book guide for a book study, whether it was a PLC or a school, it will be very supportive of just that deeper reflection. And there are some activities woven into both the book and the book study that help you to really practice the habits, not just read about them.
And you have a limited amount. This is not an encyclopedia of 100 different practices. There's nine, right? I'm just guessing that you talked to your editor about maybe putting the number 9 in the title. Just a guess. Because people love blogs and books that have numbers, right? Do you want to give a summary of a few of those that you think might be most relevant? And I know your webinar coming up on April 2nd at 4 p.m. Yeah. Eastern Time delves into a few of those as well.
Absolutely. So it was quite a process, I will say, distilling them into nine. And within that, though, we talk a lot about things such as what you might say is a known practice in education, using data. You could write an entire book or a series of books on using data, but this is a synthesis of looking at using data effectively from the lens of making a routine habitual practice of it, not just how to use it and what it is. Another one that I'm particularly passionate about is the cycle of feedback. And we think about feedback in unique ways, perhaps in education. Many teachers, you might ask about getting feedback, they perceive it to initially be from their supervisor. And they might have stress about that. And this is a shift on that, completely opposite, actually, connected to another book called Impact Players that really inspired the focus on this, of how to continuously, personally, and professionally grow is looking at opportunities for seeking feedback on your own work from your students, from parents, from colleagues, friends, and supervisors, and how to frame that in a way that it isn't threatening and it's not invasive, it's not evaluative, et cetera. But connecting that habit then might tie to the data habit. So what data are you gathering about yourself as you're trying to strive towards achieving a goal, which is another habit that I can sure Piper's going to jump in and talk about in a second because it's one of her favorites. But so they do interweave. The book starts around the habit of refining your purpose. And people may look at that and go, well, Lindsay, we hear that all the time. People say, oh, you just need to know your why and everything will be great. It's not about arriving at a destination and now I suddenly have a why and everything's fine at all. It's about purpose as a journey and a continuous understanding and reflection process as a career and an education where we may be put in a position where we're treated as if we're a saint. And that's the intersection of saying, I'm a person, I'm a human, I have a life, I deserve to have a life. I care deeply about my work as an educator and it is a calling, but it's also just a job. And sometimes I need it to just be a job. So where we're intersecting that and in the weaving of that piece throughout the rest of those habits as well is kind of coming to terms with that so that you still feel great about your work, knowing that you have an impact, but knowing that it's okay to balance. So those are a couple. Piper, I'll pass it to you.
Yeah, so when we wrote and we were distilling those habits, like Lindsay said, it was hours and days and months of kind of refining and where do we put different things. And so feedback was a habit, but it flows. There's a real close intersection to goal setting. And so goal setting is one of the habits. And it's not, we get into like your personal goals, your professional goals, team goals, classroom goals. How do you navigate all of that? And then feedback loops into the goal setting. Because you need to be evaluating and have other people supporting you in the process of that. The same thing that goes with feedback is it's not like you've arrived with goals. It's a journey, right? So feedback loops is a cycle that you're coming through, and goal setting and maintaining and creating those is a cycle as well. And so the two really interact well together, but they are separate habits. We go all the way from the, creating team goals, classroom culture goals, classroom academic and achievement goals, down to student personalized learning goals. And so really refining, how do the habit of goals impact each of those areas? And there's a lot of activities and strategies in that chapter that are very I don't know, encouraging and helpful, and help us just to reflect more on the power of goal setting. One of my most difficult chapters actually to write in the beginning has become my favorite habit actually. And it is navigating negativity. And so, you know, there is just so much coming at us that's kind of negative, and that we have to navigate through parents and peers and students and just policy, right? And so we all, and life, a lot of life has happened for each of us since the pandemic. And so we all come to the table with kind of our own trauma. But making sure that when we come to school, that we aren't superficial, that there's a place for us to show up and that we can share our stories, but that we're not constantly navigating what we name this habit, toxic negativity, right? There's one point where I definitely have had days where I've called Lindsay up and been like, ah, like this happened. But it's when I'm constantly remaining in that negative cycle. So we talk about norms in that space. And it's not like, I think the thing about norms, a lot of times in a PLC or in a staff will create norms at the beginning of the year, but we never return back to them. And so that's the habit of kind of the goal setting and the feedback as well, that the norms should be something that we are constantly coming back to every single time that we're together. We're celebrating the norm that we feel like we accomplished and did really well at, and we're setting a goal of maybe one of the norms that we want to refine as we move forward. So that's just one way that we can navigate that negativity that each of us, you know, tends to face in 2024. But it really became one of my favorite habits. There's a lot of activities and some depth there. That one's a lot to chew on, to be honest. That's one that you really do want to navigate with your peers. So a lot of reflective questions on keeping your school culture positive.
I think that habit you talked about relates to what I'm going to ask you, but so much of the current talk about resilience, and perhaps your book too, is kind of micro. It's what can the teacher do? What can I do? But really, you got a multi-level problem here or situation where, yeah, you as a person, you have your own family, your own kids, and your own life. But so much of resilience is dealing with the all of us, you know, the team, your PLC team, your grade level. So does your work complement both sides of that, do you think, Lindsay?
That is the intent, Bill. I'm actually really glad you asked, because it really was a matter of when we decided to propose this book, what sets it apart, right? Is there's a lot of books out in the field that are excellent, for what it's worth, around helping educators navigate, you know, personal experiences in the field and, you know, develop resiliency and kind of really to survive their education experience on a personal matter or personal level. Right now you see books out there around having a growth mindset, et cetera, and they're great. But what we sometimes found was that they just attended to that, and then they didn't attend to the day-to-day work of what we are here for, which is teaching and learning. So there is an intentional intersection there in the book, kind of crossing those lanes a little bit, if you will, of if we're thinking about, for example, the habit of using data, why would that make me feel resilient? Well, it's going to enable me to make more informed decisions in a more efficient way, because we know that the simple presence of data can elicit feelings of overwhelm. And I will say from experience and observing PLCs, for example, it can create toxic negativity because they only perseverate on data that is super negative and super at the low achievement ranges, for instance. So then how do we think about different types of context that we gather? What are different forms of data that then enable us to see a complete 360 picture and answer the specific question that we're trying to actually address and redirect our attention back to something that we're empowered to act on? We can then feel confident. We can feel capable. We feel like we're in control. And we know those feelings lead to agency and efficacy that enable teachers to feel like they're good at their job. They have evidence that they're good at their job, and they can return to work tomorrow and feel like, I got this. I can do this, right? It's a lot, but I can do it. And they're more likely to stay.
How could an administrator, principal, central office person use the advice in your book?
My first recommendation, pair your teachers up with a coach. And I'll pass it to you, Pipe, because I know you got ideas.
Yeah, I think this is where, again, you could read this book and just work on it individually, but the power of working collaboratively and having authentic conversations. And so, things that I would do is invite my teachers into a book study, invite them into doing this with their coaches. I wouldn't mandate it on them. It's definitely a book that is something that would want to be an invitation, right? The teachers have a lot of mandates. So the first thing I would say is invite them into this space. And then also, I think as leaders, we have to be vulnerable. And so one part is, yes, as if I'm a building administrator and I have strategists or instructional coaches that can help support the facilitation of it. But boy, I would also encourage those administrators to sit in the book study and be authentic and vulnerable and share their own journeys and how these habits could apply to them as leaders as well.
That's a great point. And to that end, I would say if they are orchestrating or initiating or suggesting that this be read at all, they definitely need to read it themselves because they're players in this book, right? And so there's a lot of understanding in there in the chapters, encouraging teachers themselves to take a pretty big leap. For example, understanding this kind of ecosystem of their school, they may feel powerless, they may feel voiceless. So there's activities in there and a chapter around prioritizing. We have initiative overload in schools right now. We know we do. Quite frankly, we always have. Right. But the leaders are over here in this area thinking, we've got all these wonderful programs. We need where these are going to be the perfect answer to all of our problems. We're going to solve all this. And the teachers are like, I'm sorry, when? How? In what time of the day at 3 a.m. tonight do I need time to learn this? So encouraging teachers to practice the skill of advocating and connecting with leaders. So if leaders understand that, why that's occurring, then there might be more likely to be a successful dynamic for everybody involved.
Yeah, and too often administrators, and sometimes for good reason, but don't participate in the PD that they want their teachers, because as you know, admin types are also crazy busy, and we're all sharing
Busy.
in that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. We're all trying to do the best we can.
Yeah, no doubt. So coming up, and I've said it a few times, April 2nd, that means this April 2nd, 4 o'clock, doing a webinar. NHASCD is sponsoring it with you guys. It's free. And you can register at nhascd.org/upcoming-events, or just go to NHASCD and you'll find it. Talk about, obviously, there's going to be a couple of the habits are going to be talked about. What can people expect during that hour?
Go for it, Pipe.
Yeah, so we will actually do some of the activities that are embedded in the book. And actually, it will be kind of like a mini book study with whoever wants to join us. We'll probably dive into two of the habits. One of the ones that seems to work really well virtually and in a webinar is the navigating negativity. There's some great things in there for us to ponder and think about. People really in webinars that we've done so far have really come away with great feedback around being together and navigating that habit. The other one that they really love is the one on feedback. And so we'll probably be diving into one of those anyway. So just come and learn more about each of the habits, but we will take a deeper dive into two of them and kind of model what a book study could look like.
Great point. So ideally, they're walking away with a snapshot of an activity that they've experienced themselves and could turn around tomorrow and put it into practice with themselves or in a group. Adding to that to kind of multiply opportunities to learn, that book study will be out by then also. So they could take that right then. And then even that's going to coincide perfectly, Bill, with we're going to actually be offering a free book study with us for several periods of time starting in the spring. That we can then share with your community at the webinar.
Nice. Well, what does the next year look for you guys? I realize you have your regular, people say, jobby jobs, but you're going to do a little bit of a book tour, I'm sure, and try to get your message out there.
We're working on it. It's a lot of fun, Bill. So, case in point, I mean, connecting with NHASCD, it's just a great opportunity to connect with more educators ultimately. We hope that the book is widely read because we hope it is actually impactful for educators. So We'll be at a number of conferences. We'll be at the ASCD annual conference in March, not with the book, but the book will be there, but we're not presenting on it. But we're at Visible Learning in July. We're going to be doing an event in Las Vegas this spring as well. Lots of opportunities online to learn, website forthcoming, et cetera. And ultimately with the goal of building a community that people are learning, they're trying the practices, they're talking about them with one another, they're connecting with educators around the world about them. We have an international webinar coming up this month too. So there's people from over 30 countries signed up for that. So that's a lot of fun. And all with ultimately, again, the goal of supporting educators. We're better together is my favorite quote that Piper says at least once a week.
Is that true, Piper?
Oh, yes. Yes, it is most definitely true. You know, I think that is the whole passion that we both share, is that we really wanted to support educators. And we know that they are better together. And Lindsay and I were better together as we would call each other and debrief and reflect and sometimes cry over things that we saw and a lot of times laugh. And so, yes, I think at the heart of this, we are better together. And that's our heart's desire, that people would dive into these habits with us.
It reminds me of the famous Maya Angelou quote, "When you know better, do better."
Yes. One of my favorites.
Me too. One of our board members has that on her email signature. So I thought about that this morning.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. Maybe we should all change that. Well, you two are awesome. Look forward to seeing you live. It's a live webinar.
Ooh.
And it's going to be coming up on April 2nd. We thought about April 1st, but that, you know, you just kind of avoid April 1st at all costs. As a former principal, that was not my favorite day. So April 2nd with our guest today, talking about habits of resilient educators, strategies for thriving during times of anxiety, doubt, and constant change. Also the title of their book. And it's kind of cool that another publication is coming out, like a book study publication too.
Yep.
And that's going to be on Amazon, on Corwin's website, all over the place.
The book study is free, actually, the study guide.
So how do you get that?
It's a supplementary resource to encourage folks to dig in.
Do you get it on the Corwin site?
You do. Yep. In fact, it should be live just about the time that the book goes live, in about a week or two.
Good.
So we'll definitely send you an email. You can share that if you like.
Sure. And we'll put all the stuff in the show notes for the podcast too. So thank you so much. We'll see you soon. Won't be long.
Fantastic.
Thank you,
Great
Piper.
Great talking to you.
Thanks, Lindsay. Well, our mission is to serve as a catalyst for conversation and action to inspire excellence in teaching, learning, and leading. You can find links to much of what we talked about on today's show in the show notes, also on our Spotify podcast page, and of course, on any podcast player, Apple, Google, Spotify, really any player at all. Don't forget also our K-8 Math Conference featuring Steve Linewand, Graham Fletcher, and others, March 22nd. You can register for that and this webinar we've been talking about with Lindsay and Piper at nhascd.org. You can find us on Twitter, X, Facebook, and Instagram. I'm Bill Carosa, Executive Director, and we'll see you next time for New Hampshire ASCD Spotlight. Take care, everybody.